Four Gleams of Christ. Rich Symbolism. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. The scriptures contain various rich symbols of our Lord. This suggests his depth of character and multifaceted roles in God's plan. A careful study of the Old Testament reveals profound types and shadows pointing to Christ. Jesus himself described how the prophets spoke of him. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Luke chapter 24, verses 27 and 44. Various animals, including sheep, bulls, lions, and doves, prefigured his ministry. Kings, prophets, and priests depicted his multiple roles. He is foreshadowed in the Passover lamb, as well as the bread and wine of the memorial. Prophecies point to his birth and manner of death. Jesus' role was foreknown and planned by God before the foundations of the earth were laid. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. The extensive Old Testament references to Jesus prevent a complete examination. Here, we consider only a few of the many individuals whose lives pointed to Christ. Adam. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Adam was the father of our race. The second Adam, our Lord Jesus, is now the life-giver for the saints, and soon for this dying world. Adam was created sinless and lived in a pure environment until Satan entered the scene. Jesus was also perfect, but remained untainted by sin, despite being challenged by the same devil under much more difficult circumstances. Such faithfulness will one day perfect and bring sonship with God to the human family. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Abel. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Abel's offering from the flock showed that fallen man's relationship with God could only be remedied through blood sacrifice. Consequently, Cain's fruit of the ground offering was unacceptable. In a jealous rage, Cain murdered his brother. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Similarly, Jesus was unjustly killed by his Jewish brethren, who were also driven by envy. Matthew 27, verse 18. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Although Abel's offering pointed to Christ's sacrifice, an offering from his flock could not truly atone for sin. In contrast, the perfection of Christ's sacrificial life will enable the new covenant to bring eternal life to the world. Our Lord's sacrifice, then, speaks of better things than Abel's offering. The murder of Abel cried out for justice, Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. However, the blood of Christ speaks not so much of vengeance, but of mercy and forgiveness. Although Israel's rejection and crucifixion of Jesus brought severe consequences, even those most responsible will be blessed by our Lord's sacrifice. Such a merciful purpose reveals the loving heart of God. Moses. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true art thy ways, thou King of the ages. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. Moses was Israel's lawgiver, prophet, teacher, and in many ways the savior of his people. As described in the passage above, he knew that one greater was to come and to accomplish what he could never hope to achieve. In delivering Israel from a heavy and prolonged bondage, he pointed to Jesus as the deliverer from something far more oppressive than Egyptian slavery. Jesus will release this world from the corrupting bondage of sin and its inevitable ending in death. Standing between God and the nation of Israel, Moses foreshadowed the role of the great mediator of the new covenant. But now hath he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 and 9 through 11. The better sacrifice of Christ will bring about the better promises of God as a reality and establish a better covenant. The remarkable result will be man's renewed relationship with God. God's law will be written in every willing mind and heart. Love will be the basis of God's law, and the world will finally know lasting peace. His early beginning. The similarities between Moses and Jesus are clear, even from childhood. When a new Egyptian pharaoh came to power, he feared the Hebrews as they increased abundantly and waxed exceedingly mighty. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. He enslaved them and set taskmasters over them in order to control their growth. To his dismay, they continued to multiply. He then commanded the Hebrew midwives to kill each newborn male child. This tactic also failed. When questioned, the midwives answered that the Hebrew women were more lively than the Egyptian women and delivered their children before they arrived. Pharaoh then ordered the Hebrew women to cast their newborn sons into the river. As a result of this unholy decree, upon the birth of Moses, his mother secretly hid him away. After 3 months, she decided to make a small basket and float her infant son toward Pharaoh's daughter, hoping her heart would be touched and she would adopt him. Exodus chapter 2. Her plan succeeded, and despite Pharaoh's evil intent, Moses grew up in the very house of his potential killer. The rescue of the infant Moses mirrors the deliverance of the baby Jesus, who also escaped a violent death shortly after his birth. Joseph had been forewarned by an angel in a dream that Herod would attempt to kill every Jewish boy under 2 years old. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. In response, Joseph fled to Egypt with his small family. He would later return after Herod's death. Moses spent many years in training as a member of Egyptian royalty. As an adult, he witnessed an Egyptian guard abusing a Jew and felt compassion for the abused man. After killing the Egyptian, Moses hid the body and fled for his life when Pharaoh learned of the incident. This event became pivotal in Moses' life. His previous Egyptian training and 40 years of shepherding the flocks of his father-in-law prepared him for the monumental task of leading Israel away from the rigors of slavery. The humility of Moses reflects the heart of Jesus. Leaving his place of power and nearness to the Heavenly Father demonstrates his unassuming heart and total devotion to God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Like Moses, Jesus spent many early years preparing for his ministry. He willingly left the courts of heaven and came to save a world that had fallen into sin. He refused to accept the devil's offer of worldly riches and identified with the ordinary and destitute of this world. Of particular importance to Israel was the 10th and final plague. It brought death to any firstborn son whose doorposts and lintels were not sprinkled with lamb's blood. This resulted in the death of countless Egyptian babies, including the firstborn son of Pharaoh himself. The Apostle Paul referenced this significant type when he wrote to the Corinthian brethren, "Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump according as ye are unleavened. For also our Passover, Christ, has been sacrificed." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Being under the blood of Christ offers deliverance from something far greater than Egyptian slavery. We have no greater enemy than death itself. Deliverance from such an enemy is truly meaningful. Recognizing this inspires believers to purge sinful tendencies and thoughts. Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. A servant is given commands to obey. A son, however, being the heir, receives special privileges and honors. As sons of God, the saints are offered an extraordinary inheritance because of the sacrifice of Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Such a glorious inheritance will be used to bless the world and bring eternal life to our dying race. The world will then know the heart of God and honor him accordingly. Those invited to sonship should understand the incredible privilege being extended and never take their calling for granted. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. As Moses stood at the border of Canaan, he gazed over the promised land and knew that Israel still faced many enemies. Similarly, the returned Lord now stands at the forefront of the new age, looking ahead to the many internal and external foes that must be conquered before man can fully enter the peaceable kingdom of God. Because Moses was not permitted to enter the promised land, nor share in the subsequent struggles, Joshua was commissioned to possess the new land, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. Everything essential for victory had been provided, but conquering Canaan was difficult, requiring perseverance and faith. The people simply needed to trust that God was with them and follow their leader's direction. However, many Israelites never entered the promised land because of unbelief, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. Joshua then serves as a type of Christ functioning in a new role, one capable of bringing the world into the promised land of God's kingdom. Possessing the land illustrates the work of overcoming individual enemies. Every evil desire must be overcome. We too have a great leader ordained by God. Everything necessary to enter the rest of our promised land has been provided. Like Israel, we must trust that victory is assured and to remain engaged in doing what our leader directs. Paul assures us that, quote, we which have believed do enter into rest, end quote. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Brother Russell shares a practical aspect of such a rest. All of God's consecrated people can testify that they have a rest, a peace, a joy, a blessing, which the world can neither give nor take away. And this is in proportion to their loyalty and faithfulness. Yet even all this is not sufficient. God has in reservation something far better. Respecting this, that apostle declares, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God," Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. The heavenly rest will be entered by the perfecting of the new creatures in the first resurrection. Their loyalty and faithfulness having been demonstrated in fighting the good fight of faith against the world, the flesh, and the adversary, the Lord promises them a glorious change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, a share in his own resurrection to the perfection of the divine nature, far above angels, principalities, and powers, and in association with himself in the glorious messianic kingdom, by which the world will also be blessed. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. From reprint 5345. Learning to enter God's rest begins as we face each experience in faith. We learn to control the fear that sometimes arises and be convinced in our hearts that God would never forsake us. The Lord's promise to Joshua is comforting to all those engaged in the journey of the new creation. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This principle will also apply to mankind in the kingdom. Many personal enemies will be overcome, and love will fill each willing heart. When perfection of heart has been attained, the long years of man's experience with sin will yield their precious fruit. How we long for that glorious day.